You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here with Chris Pimlott to look ahead to the best of Friday's racing action at York and Ascot to preview in just a few moments on what is a pretty good Friday as well. Plenty of action around the country to look forward to. We've got racing at Ascot, Thurston, Uttoxeter in the afternoon, Newmarket, York and Chepstow in the evening, as well as Wexford and Down Royal across the Irish Sea. So something for everybody, I think it's fair to say, on Friday, especially this man, Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimus?
Very good afternoon to you, Alex. I'm in tremendous form. I've been enjoying the bits and bats of racing that we've had earlier on this week, but certainly it's another fantastic Friday, Saturday for us here in the UK. And, well, we might have some poultry fare during the week, but Saturdays is just drenched with quality. Possibly overdrenched.
Well, obviously, we're looking at Friday's action, and often the Friday and Saturday cards, the Friday isn't as good as the Saturday, but it's the same meeting, you know, and you get good quality stuff. It is a shame, though, that the standard of racing during the week is so much worse than the weekends, isn't it? When you think how much good stuff we have on weekends.
That's right, and again, we could be diluting it a little bit so that the guy who wants to go midweek racing to see some quality, it's on offer for him. I thought there was a tremendous article by Colin Russell in Tuesday's Racing Post regarding the race courses, and basically, I think he was dead right that the York race course, Thirst race course, Gatwick, Ascot, you name it, they think of one person and one person only, themselves.
Yeah. No, that's true.
I mean, you've got Thirst tomorrow afternoon and York tomorrow evening.
Mm.
Now, what, 40 minutes away from each other?
Mm.
If that.
There won't be many people doing a double, will there?
You wouldn't have thought so, but by the same token, a lot might be doing the double bubble for one reason and one reason only.
It's not racing, is it?
It's Mr. Tom Jones.
The
pants will be flying tomorrow night, Alex, there. I'm telling you, on the Naismeyer.
Yours or?
Well, they're certainly not mine. I wouldn't have thought so, but he's renowned for that, isn't he?
He is.
Old Tom.
He is.
I mean, it's not unusual for that sort of thing to happen, is it?
Oh, get away, Pimus. I've less of that. Less of
Happy
that.
Happy days. It's a sellout as well.
Is it?
Sellout, yeah. Yeah.
Well.
So you can only get your tickets on the black market, allegedly. But there you go.
Will you be there?
Tickets buy and sell. Of course I will, Sam. Of course I will.
The shady world of Chris Pimlott there. We'll get on to Ascot and York in just a second. Front page of the Racing Post makes grim reading for Ryan Moore fans. Says Moore's set to be out for the rest of the year. Of course, injury picked up in the stalls at Newmarket. A neck injury. Strange, though. No official party line on what the injury is there? It's just that, well, it would appear to be a fairly severe one.
Yeah, I mean, very bizarre. There's nobody sort of, i.e. a spokesman of Ryan Moore or Ryan Moore himself coming forward to say this is exactly what's happened, other than the word is that there's nothing broken. So you'd have to imagine that if it's going to keep him out for the rest of the season, stroke year, another 6 months or so, that it is something severe. Big blow for a Ryan Moore, but also a big blow for the Ballydoyle boys, Michael Stout, and obviously a big blow for us racing fans who adore to watch him racing. And again, obviously, he'll have had a lucrative contract, I should imagine, in Hong Kong or Japan after our season had finished, then on to Dubai early next year. So it'll be interesting to see exactly what the issue is, and if somebody or Ryan Moore himself comes out and says, actually, you know, this is exactly what I've done, and this is why I'm going to be out for such a long time.
He was riding so well, though, wasn't he?
Brilliant. Season. Absolutely brilliant. I mean, he's ridden very well for the last number of years, but again, this year he's really come to the fore as the go-to jockey and the guy who seemed to be in the right place at the right time and always let his riding do the talking, didn't he?
Yeah, just a bit of a cut above, almost, at times. But that does blow the Flat Jockeys Championship wide open. Well, I say that, the betting wouldn't suggest so.
No.
Sylvester D'Souza's 1-6, James Doyle and Paul Hannigan at 9s, William Buick at 12s and Graham Lee at 20s. I spoke to Paddy Aspel about this, did the podcast with him on, I think it was on Saturday, on Sunday's Racing Podcast. And he said that D'Souza's going to be obviously very hard to beat. He threw in Graham Lee as one at a big price, who, similar to D'Souza in that, doesn't really have any contract to speak of, can go where he wants, ride for a number of top trainers, gets a lot of the boys from down south when they do come up north. He's booked to ride for, you know, Godolphin and big operations. But it's hard to see past D'Souza, isn't it, Pimmer?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I think the great thing is that, you know, there's been all this hoo-ha over the Jockeys' Championship. For me, it was a complete and utter waste of time changing what they'd already got. And, you know, Sylvester D'Souza is going to win it numerically because he's ridden lots of little race winners here, there and everywhere. Three at Catterick yesterday. He could ride three more somewhere again this afternoon. He's not necessarily the best jockey on the circuit at the moment, but he's the jockey that's ridden the most winners, and that's what they tell me the Jockeys' Championship is all about. Mm-hmm. So if you could say, like, as we speak now, he's 10, 11 clear of Ryan Moore, 62 playing 51. Prize money-wise, he's won 673 grand. Ryan Moore has won 2 million.
Mm.
Frankie Dettori has won 2 million.
Mm.
So how does that work? The jockey ridden most winners, but he's only earned 600,000. Or the jockey who's ridden not as many winners, but has ridden more high-profile winners. Should he not be champion?
No. No. Not in my opinion.
No, not in my opinion either. No. But what I'm saying is, I think that's what they tried to do.
Yeah.
They tried to get a whole profile jockey to win the championship when that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, and again, no disrespect to Sylvester D'Souza, brilliant rider, but again, we haven't seen him ride too many big race winners.
You see, I'd argue, though, that of the list there, if I was an owner and I had the choice of any jockey available, if Ryan Moore was injured, I'd probably pick Sylvester D'Souza, especially on current form.
Yeah, you would. But again, when he won the championship a couple of years ago, it was a similar sort of thing, wasn't it? I mean, you've got Paul Hannigan, you've got William Buick, and you've got James Doyle, all retained by big trainers.
Yeah.
Now, their agents will have a very difficult job there because they'll not know until 10, 15 minutes prior to declaration time where those jockeys are going to go.
Yeah.
So 10 minutes to 10, they know where they're going, and then he's got to try and fill the book of riding.
So it could be that Godolphin have a potential newcomer, say, in a maiden, and it could be that Doyle and Buick are waiting to see who's going to ride it, and it turns out that horse is pulled out. In the meantime, Rafe Beckett has gone to Sylvester D'Souza. Do you want to ride this?
Well, yeah, exactly, and that's the difficult job that we've got. And I mean, Paul Hannigan did touch on that the other day when he was interviewed on TV when he'd ridden a big race winner, saying, you know, my agent does a good job, but at times it's difficult for him.
Yeah.
And whereas D'Souza, no real ties to sort of commit to, so his agent can crack on and say, right, well, we've got a full book of rides there, Sylvester. Three have got chances. If one or two go in, happy days.
And he's putting the miles in as well, isn't he?
Oh,
all over
star.
The country. And
big star. But that won't bother him. He's a worker.
Oh, yes, he is.
Proved that in the past, you know.
And, you know, if he is on Saturday at York, you'd imagine he'll probably be at Thirsk beforehand. And, you know, it's just how it works, isn't it? It's what he's good at. And he's certainly performing above and beyond at the minute.
Yeah, put it this way, you wouldn't mind having him on your team, that's for sure.
No, that is true. Okay, shall we move on to Friday's?
Yeah, I mean, because I think the listener will be asleep now, poor devil.
We'll start with Ascot's 255. It's a handicap over 2 miles. 13 runners going to post. A few old favourites in here, Pimmers. Time's up off top weight is certainly dropping down the handicap, but hasn't shown much for a while. What do you think will win this?
Oh, I thought this was very, very competitive. You got me on the back foot straight away in this 2-miler. As you see, time's up, really dropping down the weights, but he deserves to because he's not really shown any sort of form of late, that is for sure. I think you've got a couple of interesting ones here. Seymour from the Brian Ellison Yard. He ran well enough in defeat last time out. I put Newcastle in that good 2-mile handicap there, finishing 6th of the 19 behind Quest for More. So that was certainly a good run in the Pitman's Derby. I thought Barbican's been running okay of late, but needs to up his game. I thought Right to Rain's been slightly disappointing of late, but again, has got a level of form in the past that could see him figure at a reasonable price. And High Street ran a real good race on a track that didn't suit him, I didn't think, last time out at Catterick. There certainly should be a little bit more to come from him, and he's got the profile of a progressive horse, as we'd imagine from the Sir Michael Stout Yard. And the bottom horse, Havisham, is interesting. Very tough, very consistent. Not necessarily going to get its head in front tomorrow, but again, could run its usual good race to get a place. So wide open race for you in that 5-3 at Ascot, and I'm just going to take a chance with the Northern Challenger, Seymour.
Okay, Seymour the pick then in the 2.55. Next up is the 3.30 from Ascot. It is a listed fillies contest over a mile on the round course. 10 runners going to post for this one, and 10 pretty informed fillies, Pimmers.
Yeah, cracking fillies listed race this over a mile. Obviously, you've got some really nice horses taking part in here. Yasmin's very, very interesting, the John Gosden filly. She ran really well in the Coronation Stakes last time out. She was last of the nine, admittedly, but she was only beaten 10 and a bit lengths. Again, nothing of that calibre here tomorrow afternoon. She was really well seen to good effect when she was second at York prior to that, and she won her maiden at Newbury. So there could be plenty more to come from Yasmin. Evita Perron, she was second at Hamburg in a Group 3 race last time out. She finished third in the listed Group 3 as well, should I say, at Lingfield prior to that. So she's got form in a slightly better grade than what she contests in tomorrow. And obviously Bold Lass from the Lanigan Yard, she ran well enough in a Group 3 1 mile 1 filly stakes last time out at Epsom. So she comes into the race in good form as well. So plenty of the fillies come into the race with a chance. Other one that I thought was interesting was Bella Nostalgia from the Hugo Palmer Yard. His horse had been cracking form of late. And she ran really well at Sandown in our listed fillies race last time out. So she too could well be in the mix. But I think I'm going to stick with the progressive, and hopefully a lot more to come from the filly, Yasmin.
Okay, Yasmin the pick then in Ascot's 3.30. We'll move to York then for some evening action. The 7.30 is the first race that we'll look at on the Knavesmire, and it is a listed filly stakes over the extended 1 mile and 2 furlong trip. 8 runners down to go to post, and once again, Pimmers, some informed fillies.
Yeah, good little race. 8 of them go to post. So again, if you fancy something a little bit with an each-way slant to it, there's certainly a chance there. Your favourite's more likely to be Crystal Savida. Again, we know all about her. She won a listed race at Newbury prior to running in the Oaks. And to be fair, she didn't enjoy the Oaks one little bit. She was out wide. She got very much unbalanced as she came down the hill. She was beaten a long, long way from home. Jockey accepted that situation, eased her. And again, I think you can put a line right the way through that Oaks run. Look what she's done prior to that. And certainly she'd be a filly that is worthy of being favourite in a listed race, that is for sure. French Dressing, again, fairly unexposed. This filly by for John Gosden and Rab Havlin. Only seen her on the race course once. That was over a mile and two in the maiden fillies race at Ascot. She won that in good style. Obviously, she needs to really up a game tomorrow evening to be a player, but there's no reason why the filly wouldn't be able to do that. So French Dressing, certainly a player despite her inexperience. And the other horse I thought was interesting is Pomona, the Luca Camani filly. She ran well in a Group 2 at Ascot last time out. That was in the Ribblesdale. She's also been third behind the favourite, Crystal Zavida, earlier on in the year. And again, she could be another filly that takes the places. But I think it's for the favourite to land the spoils, Crystal Zavida.
OK, Crystal Zavida the pick in the 7.30 from York. The final race that we're going to look at is York's 8 o'clock. A handicap over a mile. 13 runners going to post. And a few of these will know each other's fairly well, Pimmers. Some horses that really like it here, the likes of Navajo Chief. But mainly some pretty solid northern performers. We do have a horse coming up from the south, though, in Hacker for Sir Michael Stout and Ted Durkin. And should we start with Hacker's chances?
Yeah, well, interestingly enough, there are 13 runners. I've been through it. There's just two trained down south. Mm. The Tim Jarvis runner, Navajo Chief, and the horse that you said, Hacker, for Sir Michael Stout. Now, Hacker, to be fair, only had a couple of outings. And again, in the report I've got here, was gifted a clear run up the inside last time out at Wolverhampton when won a mile and one maiden stakes there, beat an important message. So again, just how much to come from this horse remains to be seen. He's a three-year-old as well. And he just might find some of these hardened campaigners a little bit too much to tackle tomorrow evening. But again, you know, there might be an awful lot more to come from him off his official rating of 85. So, 13 to post, 2 trained down south. It gives the north 11 chances to pick up that prize of £8,086. So, a good prize on offer. Again, Mick Easterby's horse has been going well. O'Meara's horses have been going great. Far, he's been going well. Mark Walford, I thought Woody Bay was interesting as well for Mark Walford, who trains just down the road from Mick Easterby at Sheriff Hutton. Thought he was interesting. And I'm going to take a chance with Interwin, who was awarded the race last time out at Ayr when he was badly hampered inside the final furlong. And I think he'll continue on an upward curve for the very much in form Richard Fahey and Jack Garrity.
Okay, in to win the pick then in York's 8 o'clock. Great stuff, Mr. Pimlott. Thank you very much for your time. Best of luck with your picks on Friday, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, and if somebody's on the stage with Tom Jones, you know it'll be.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.